This morning we're going to go in our teaching back into manifestations of God. And in teaching this, I'm going to go into an area we're going to be looking at concerning what people have called the gifts of the Spirit. I like the term more manifestations of the Spirit than gifts, because gifts give people a wrong idea. Because when we think about gifts, many times we think about something that's given to us that belongs to us to use, that we control. You know, like over the years, when I first came into the kingdom, first got born again, people would talk about gifts of the Spirit. They had like, I have the gift of healing and I have this. Well, that's none of that's true from that perspective. Number one, you're not a healer. And you don't do that. Now, there are certain, and we will talk about as we go along in this, there are certain people, there's a difference between gifts of the Spirit, gifts of healing in operation, than someone who has a healing ministry. That's different. There's a difference in operation in those things. Some people are given specific, you know, certain types of healing ministries where God operates through them in a certain way, certain things they do. Over the years, I've watched different ministers operate in different ways in those things. And we're going to talk about those things. We're going to start in that direction, but we won't go into it all. Really, there's going to be sort of a tying up between things. I'm going to be starting a series teaching called Understanding Grace on Wednesday nights. I've taught this subject before, but I believe we're going to end up in a little bit different in direction in these things. Because understanding, when we're talking about these gifts and manifestations of the Spirit, this is about the grace of God and it's working through individuals. You know, if I would sort of put it this way, if grace, we would try to put it up as a measure and say, well, here we have a yardstick and, you know, grace is 36 inches. The church, the average Christian knows about 2 inches of it because it's they've ever been taught. I've met very few ministers that ever really teach or have a comprehension of grace. Grace is always this unmerited favor that you got saved with, and that's been the end of it. And if you study the scriptures only mention a little bit about that. It mentions all this other stuff. When the term grace is used, it's talking about completely different stuff. But when you're taught it means a certain thing, every time you read things, you think it's saying that, and you don't even know what it's talking about. See, and this is one of the things we have. Grace is one of the most phenomenal things that God did. And if it's only unmerited favor, well, what good's that? See, I got saved. But you know, there's got to be something better. There's got to be something more. Amen. You know, there's most of Christianity thinks today, they don't even talk about the new birth. We got forgiveness of sin. That's the only thing they know about is grace. That's all the grace you got. You just got your sins forgiven and you're just sort of hanging on here. You're just trying to make it by and hoping God will, you know, do something good. But, you know, one day, you know, we're going to get to go to heaven and it'll be good. Well, it'd be nice to have some good here, wouldn't it? It'd be good to get it on this side. I'd hate to have to wait for everything's over there. And I think that's what happened to a lot of churches, because people got waiting tired because God ain't doing nothing here. Why do anything? Why bother? Why bother here? Why bother praying if God's not going to do anything? Why bother doing any of this stuff? Is it really going to work? Well, we want to talk about, because we want to talk about grace. We're going to divide between the difference of God working in man and man's works. Most Christians live and die in their works. And very seldom operate over in God's works. And we want to look at that. And why? Well, number one, I don't blame Christians for it, because people haven't been taught. We have so much tied together today. So many people have so many different kinds of beliefs. We're going to begin teaching this morning. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. We're going to look at the grace and operations of God and the gifts and manifestations of God. And I want you to get a hold of this. These are spiritual gifts. They have nothing to do with the natural. Understand, the scriptures, the letters to the church are written to the church, not the world. This has nothing to do with natural giftings in people. See, the church, you know, I see this all the time. Well, let's use our gifts for God. And what they're talking about, using your natural gifts. I'm good at doing this, so I'm going to use that for God. Well, if God told you to, fine. But there are supernatural gifts. You need to understand the church is a supernatural body. It is not a natural body, and the gifts that God give have nothing to do with natural. You will never find in the scriptures where God gave us doctors. If he did, then he gifted the sinners. We need to understand this. Man was given intelligence. Now, they don't use it, but man was given intelligence, and he can learn and develop and grow to do things and do stuff. All men were created. God gave man that ability. God put people in charge, and you can decide to be what you want. Or you can decide, you know, is number one. I mean, God, we don't have in a scripture where God tells that a person couldn't use their natural abilities to do make a living. He didn't say he couldn't. See, people weren't thinking. People weren't, you know, raised with the ability exactly to know what to do about things. Did you ever know? Why would we send people to school if you just had all these abilities or something? Or they're just God-given and you get them and they just work. And nothing like that happens. Nothing, you know. I remember... what's his name? The Woods, the golfer. Yeah. Well, he made a statement one time. They're telling me he had all this natural ability to play golf. He said, "Well, I wish somebody had told me that, because he said I sure did have to do a lot of practice all the time to get good at this." You see, people get weird ideas, and we have all this stuff. Well, see, I know there's people who work in an area. Now, you can turn around and learn to use faith to help you in your natural area of your abilities where you're working. See, that's what pleases God. God ain't pleased by your talent. He's pleased by your faith. So, see, anybody could please God doing whatever they do. The Bible says, do whatever you do in the name of the Lord. You know, most Christians never do that. They never do. They never even go to work. They complain about having to go to work instead of saying, praise God, God's going to help me and bless me today. God's going to give me wisdom on what to do today. God's going to... No, they go to work and say, oh my God, it's Monday again, weekend's over, and back to work, and oh my God, it's finally Friday and I get to go home. It's like, did God help you this week? Well, no, because you weren't in faith all week on your job. You might have been in other things, but you weren't there. It's using faith in God. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, it works. It'll keep you happy when things aren't going right. You don't use faith, don't be surprised you ain't happy. Because you're not trusting it. You have nothing to trust in. You're just doing in your abilities. Your abilities. And this is why we're talking this subject. We're looking at a subject that deals with supernatural manifestations through the believer. This is not the world. This was not written to any sinner. None of this stuff is written to any sinner. It's not for them. This is not natural abilities in life. It has nothing to do with that. I taught this subject in Bible schools and that stuff. It's one of the things that I found is you have a hard time because people have been taught all kinds of things. Especially, we have put, you know, medical science way up here. It's way up there. God's somewhere down around in here in this area, but medical science is way up here. This is the gift of God. You see, I'm just going to tell you this. You're going to have a hard time believing for divine healing if you've climbed the ladder up to there. You'll have a hard time with it. It becomes difficult. You know, it's always easy to believe the things that you believe the most. It's always easier to believe it. It's sometimes changing. We got to change that. We got to change that thing. We got to change what we believe. You need to be careful what you say God gifted or what God didn't. Do you really know what God's doing and what he's not? Because, see, we sit down in the church world, generally speaking, in most of the church world, they have no idea what God and what's not God. They have no clue. I was born and raised around this stuff, you know. Whether it was good or bad, God did it. God did it. So what was God and what was not? Well, everything was God. Because why? God's in control. Well, if God's in control, then it's just like I told my parents. I asked them, you know, I was this kid, just caused trouble. Why would we be upset at the devil if God's making, he's controlling everything, and he's the God that's doing all the killing, to steal and to destroy it? Why are we upset at the devil? It seems God's a problem. Well, you become real popular in the Christian world when you do that. And It's getting, but see, when people are born, you know, they naturally, they believe that stuff. They sit under that teaching and they believe it. And, you know, I would imagine that probably everybody at one time along had questions about things, but people get afraid. I just open my big mouth. Most people won't, and they'll sit and they'll listen to something and then they'll finally just accept it. Because everybody else is going that way. I just wasn't one of those guys. I was not good at following the crowd, even as a kid. I was never good. In school, I never followed the crowd. What the crowd was doing, I knew a lot of time ain't gonna turn out well. You know, you go over there, you gotta play, jump through their hoops, do their stuff. And you're always happy as long as that. But as soon as you don't do what they want, that same crowd that you were so glad to have you in it will hate you in 2 minutes. You know who the biggest bullies there are in any school you go to? It's the crowd. The crowd is the bullies. They don't like anybody who's not in the crowd. Good preaching, folks. That's like lots of times. You go to into school. I've seen this over and over. The people that the teachers lots of times like the most, think they know, so they're so smart, they're bullies to other kids. They run other kids down all the time. They're the ones that do it. If you fit in the crowd, you know, I've watched this in schools. Kids even getting in trouble. I remember when Lisa and them were in school, they had some kids, some drug problem things, and these kids, they kicked out of school and that stuff. But they had one of these smart kids who got caught over in the areas of drugs, and he was a good baseball player, and they needed him on the team. He didn't get kicked out of school, see. He gets to stay because he fits the crowd, see. We got to keep him over here because he's in this crowd. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. The people who complain about bullies will bully you first. They'll be the first one. Now, folks, that was all free. Just, you know, but it's good. You know, I've watched this stuff over the years, and I've watched all this stuff, and people play these stupid games. And that's why in schools lots of times you'll have a lot of the teachers don't go after the people that bullies because they're their favorites. I'm sorry. I mean, in general, not isn't everybody, but in general, they do. They're the ones that are favorite. And if they're one of their favorites is bullying somebody, they don't say anything. You get the kid they don't like do something. Boy, they're on that one right away, you know. That ugly kid. Hallelujah. See, I learned over time, you be like Jesus. When I worked at Lebanon County Prison, I was one of the best compliments I ever got was from these two brothers who... one was probably hitting his up into mid-30s, and the other one was in his late 20s. They had been in and out of jail all their life and drugs and stuff and things and going on. They were sort of notorious, known in a lot of not the right circles. But I'll never forget when I was going to be leaving, not working anymore at the prison. The one brother came up to me and said, I just want to say something to you. You know, he said, I don't like everything you did and the way you did it, but he said, I want to tell you this. He said, you were always the same to everybody. He said, I've never seen that. He said, you treated us all the same no matter what. See, like Jesus. See, that's where you start getting like Jesus. When you turn around and you treat everybody, everybody's the same. People notice that. People notice that. And it's a big thing in life. Well, let's get back over here to these gifts and things operating. Hallelujah. That's just some good preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. Because it'll help you. It'll help you along. Because see, we have, when it comes to these gifts and manifestation, right now, you know, the crowd was moving that way back in the 70s and 80s. The crowd in Christianity was moving toward manifestation of the Spirit, baptism of the Holy Ghost. They left that today. They don't even want to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but you need to understand this. No baptism of the Holy Spirit, you won't see the manifestation of these gifts we're going to talk about. You won't see it. You don't go to a church that doesn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speak in other tongues, and they have gifts and manifestations of the Holy Spirit, these in their church. Why? Because that's what they go with. This is why Jesus said to the disciples, you don't leave Jerusalem till you receive from on high. In other words, you don't go out and preach. You don't want to do stuff. You don't start your church. See, people say, well, the day of Pentecost, that's when the day the church started. Now, that's generally what's preached. That ain't true. The church started when Jesus raised from the dead, and the disciples believed he was raised from the dead. You get saved believing Jesus was raised from the dead, not the Holy Spirit poured out. You don't get born again, you get born again. They believed. They already were born again. He said, you guys now, I'm believing. Don't go out there and preaching and run around doing stuff till you get baptized with the Holy Ghost. The majority of the church world today has not obeyed Jesus Christ. Most Christians don't obey Jesus Christ. See, we have our religious belief. That's why I made the statement before. You don't hardly ever see a New Testament church. Because we have our religious churches. We got all that have been taught over the years. They say New Testament. No, let's get back to the New Testament. Let's get back there. Let's go to that place back here, because number one, you cannot succeed as a Christian without supernatural help. Born again ain't enough. Born again is not enough. You're not going to succeed because you got born again. I could turn around and give you lists of people who failed at Christianity who got born again. And you know, they died and went to heaven, but they failed at Christianity because that wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to just get born again. If just getting born again would work, I mean, my God, we'd all just, everything, you know. I've sure had to do a lot of work at this stuff over the years I've been born again. If this thing just, Kenneth Hagin used to always use it, said people act like it's just going to fall off on you like ripe cherries off a tree. It just don't work that way. Did you notice? Does life work that way? No. And it doesn't. It takes work. And especially, you know, if you're going to do ministry, ministry takes work. And everybody's called to some kind of ministry. Everybody's called to something. But it caused work. It's one thing that they taught us at Rhema. One of the first things they ever said to you was this. When you got there, they said, how you spell ministry? W-O-R-K. And they said, if you don't like work, stay out. Caused work. It's working at things. You got to do it. You work. That's what you do. And lots of times, you know, it's number one, I know this, that the average person who's not called to full-time ministry is not going to spend as much time in the Word and that stuff as I do or our minister should. You're not going to spend as much time. But see, that's part of my labor and work. That's what I'm into. That's what I'm doing. See, that's my job. And so the disciples said, hey, we can't be over here waiting on tables. He said, RJ, we need to pray, be in the Word. That's what we need to do because that's our job. See, my job is a job to teach. My job isn't to do your job. See, most Christians want the pastor to do all the stuff with taking care of the ministry of everything. It's not my job. And I'm just one of those bullheaded guys. I ain't going to do your job. You don't do it. It just ain't going to get done. I ain't going to do it just because it needs to be done. If nobody wants to do it, then it don't. I've had people over the years telling me, we ought to be doing this or that. I say, yeah, why don't you start doing that? Well, I don't believe I'm called to it. I said, me either. So it ain't getting done. See, everybody wants something done. God put it on my heart to tell you what you ought to be doing. Well, what's he told you to do? I don't know. I just do. He told me to do nothing. Oh, I think over time it's gotten worse because, the more socialistic our society has become, the more they believe it's somebody else's job to do something. I had a neighbor got real quiet. This one neighbor, they needs a roof on the house. Well, you know, but they've done, you know, it's a person who claims to be a Christian, but has never lived the life of a Christian. And life hasn't worked out well for them. The person across the street said, boy, somebody ought to do something about put a roof on their house. I said, well, why don't you? He turned around and went back across the street. And it just... Somebody ought to do something about that. Well, praise God. We'll quit meddling and go back over here to this. We're going to look at this in 1 Corinthians 12 chapter. What we're going to talk about, some things in opening here, because one of the things that, starting with the 12th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, when we have teaching in these areas here, most of it, the teaching that any books I've ever read or most people teach, we pull sections out of here to teach certain subjects. But I want you to understand this, that years ago when the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to start to read the letters to the church. See, these are letters. They call them epistle. That means in a letter. The epistles are Romans on through are epistles. They are letters that were written to the church. See, this is what you understand. They're not written to the world. They're not written to some. They are written to the church. And these were letters written. They were not written in chapter and verse. Paul didn't ever put a chapter or verse. Paul wrote a letter to people just the same way as if you would write a letter to someone. Or you would, you could turn around and, you know, like we write books and everything else and you do them and people write them and they might cover a certain subject and they put here. But I want you to understand that when we look with 1 Corinthians here, the chapter 12, 13, and 14 are all the same subject. Which has, I'll be honest with you, I've never heard anybody ever teach it as all the same subject. Never once. I've never heard anybody. But it's all the same subject. It's talking about manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit operating through the body. The whole thing's about that. All those is about that. And everybody teaches it, and what happens is we miss a lot by doing that. There's a lot of things that, and two, you can easily do this, you know, because part of the 12th chapter we're going to look at, people take the part out about how the body needs each other. And I have never heard anybody in my entire Christian walk, and I don't care who it is, I've never heard anybody teach it in its context that it was written in. Never one time. Never one time I've ever heard anybody. We always teach about, how much we need each other. Well, see, you can't pull the part out about the gifts of the Spirit, because I want you to know this going into this teaching. If parts of the body ain't doing their job, who needs them? It's like me having a blind eye. What good is it to me? See, the subject is about the body, everybody doing their part. It's about everybody's gifted. Everybody, we need everybody. We need all the gifts. We need them. But if people ain't doing them, what good is it? What good's a body that has parts that don't work? You ain't ever heard that taught when he teaches that, did you? There was, you need even the weakest person. It's not talking about natural weaknesses. It's talking about the person who maybe seem to have the smallest gift. But it's a supernatural gift and the body needs it. It's not talking about natural. See, the Bible is mostly taught psychologically. I mean, I even went to Rhema and they wanted us to take these tests they were doing, some of them teachers wanted to do these tests, these psychological tests to find out, you know, they do this psychological thing to find out if you're, you know, an A, B, or C, or whatever it is, you have this, do it. Your psychology. They want to find out about your psychology. And it's like, I wonder if Paul ever took one of those. They should have gave Jesus one, for sure. He would. Now, years ago, I had one of those tests. I took one of those tests. They didn't know what to do with me. I didn't fit in any of their categories. I didn't. And I told them, I said, I won't. I said, I don't fit yours because I don't live according to your categories. I don't think according to your categories. Most people do good in them because they live natural lives. They think, and they said, they literally told me this. You'll probably go insane. I said, yeah, hanging around you, I probably would. They said, well, there's parts of you that fit in every one of these. I said, don't surprise me at all. And don't surprise me that you would fit. See, I one of the worst things that ever happens to you is listening to all this psychological stuff, because it'll put you in a little corner, and that's where your life is. You're going to believe that, and that's where you're going to stay, and God will only ever be able to use you in that little corner. These gifts are supernatural, and they take what the most insignificant of people and turn them into. You know, one of the things, if you ever seen and ever followed ministries, it is amazing how many people. Like I always like to study people in the past, and you'd look. You talk about insignificant people going nowhere, and God used powerfully? Oh, my words. Phenomenal what God did through the insignificant. You know, right now they're taking the kids. Alyssa started this thing in this court. What they're doing, they're reading them books of missionaries. People who were nobodies, nothings, and everybody, even the church, hindered them from trying to do the will of God. But how powerfully God used these people. See, they didn't fit the psychology of the church. Psychology. Pick up the psychology of the Bible. Get the psychology of Jesus in your mind. Get thinking like it. You won't fit the pattern. I'm just telling you. You're not. If you can fit the pattern of this world, you're in it. That's right. I can't fit it. I can't fit it. You can't either, so get over it. Quit trying to make them happy. They don't get happy about it anyhow. You do everything you can for their best, and they're still mad at you. You know? It's like, and they don't understand it, but keep blessing them. You just keep living in it and walking in it. You just keep doing it. You know, you'll always find there will people one day the light comes on. It's like, oh my God. Now I see that. Ah, now I know. But the light can't come on if you're going to live in darkness with them. The light will never come on. Can't live in their place. Hallelujah. Now, in the opening verse, I want you to see here, we've talked about some of these things before in teaching, but we're going to go over them. It says in verse 1 of that chapter 12, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Now, that word gifts there, if you'll see in your Bible, is italicized because the word gifts is not there. That wasn't in it. It was added by the translators because this they're going to talk about spiritual gifts. Dealing in the areas for gifts, but we're going to talk about that somewhat too, because the term used for gifts that are going to be used as we go along in here, that word is the word charisma. Charisma. And this is where we get the term is used that we talk about, the charismatic. Charismatic. See, that's where when the outpouring of the Spirit started and that stuff really started happening, then they had what they called the charismatic move. That had to do with this. That word, the basis of that word comes from the Greek word charis, which is the word we translate as grace. Grace is about the power of God. That's what it is. Grace is the power of God. Bible talks about being saved by grace. Paul said, well, I'll read this to you. It's just good sometimes to just go to the Bible and read it right out of the Bible, because I could quote it and you would know it, but the Bible says it. In Romans 1 and verse 16 says, Paul wrote, said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to those who believe." It says it's the power of God. That's the word dunamis. The gospel is the dunamis of God. So grace to be saved comes from the dunamis of God. That's the word we get the word dynamite from. It's the power of God. The gospel releases the power of God that man can have grace. In other words, man gets, and it's more than favor, it's the power of God. You go through the study of Scripture, you constantly find that you'll run through things, we'll be talking about grace and talking about power. Grace and power. Why? Because grace, the new birth, is the power of God. It is power, the demonstrated power of God. You got born again. Thank God for favor. He showed favor towards you, but it took power for you to be born again. Grace, how it was demonstrated in power for you to be saved. See, that's why today when people only preach forgiveness of sin, nobody gets born again. You don't get born again because of forgiveness of sin. You get born again because you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Everybody's sins are forgiven. There's not a person in hell today who didn't have their sins forgiven. Jesus died for all men's sin. He took them. Why? You get saved by as many as who receive Him. To them, He gives the dunamis. He gives the dunamis to those who believe on His name. No dunamis, no grace. No matter how much grace God has given, grace and faith run together. You can only, grace never produces nothing without faith. No matter how much grace God pours out, there must be faith. You could sit down and you could preach the wonderful, powerful gospel message, but the only ones that will change are the ones who by faith receive it. They get born again. The rest of them there, the grace was ready to go to work and blow up in their life, but if they didn't receive it by faith, it did nothing. Even all that power there. It's just like, you know, we look at, you know, receptacles on a wall. If you don't plug into them, you don't get electric. You got to plug into them. Faith is the way we plug into the grace of God. It's how we plug into it. It's how you get it. There ain't any other way to do it. There's no other way. It's through faith. So you want to walk there. So he says here, now he's talking about this thing. He's not mentioning gifts. He's saying this, and so understand this because this will help you understand more about what's being said by Paul talking about. Paul didn't open up and say, he's talking about spiritual gifts. He said, I'm talking about spiritual. Better translated if it was said now concerning spiritual things or things of the Spirit. This is talking about spiritual things. In other words, there's no natural talent talked about in this chapter. Not one thing. Has nothing to do with any natural gifting you think you have in your life. It has nothing to do with any of it. This is about spiritual things. This is about what your spirit has, not what your physical body has, what you have that you think in your mind. It's about your spirit. We're talking about the power of God. The grace of God goes to work in the spirit of man. Just like the Holy Spirit. Think about this. The Bible tells us the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling in you. And it says that He'll make alive your mortal body. Now think about this. The Spirit's in there. Well, does it automatically make your body well? Does it automatically do it? Well, no. Yet it's in there. Just think, the Holy Spirit, there is resurrection power in you right now. See, you ought to think about that all the time. See, the church is always seeking for power. And this is why they can't get any, because they don't have faith in having power. They already got it. You already have power. How do I get that power? You know, the Bible calls Him the Spirit of Grace. Oh, the Spirit of Grace. Well, how do you operate the grace? By faith. The faith. You want to get the power. You have the power in you. You have the power. See, get that in your mind thinking about that. Think about that. See, you've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You're not going to get blessed. You've already been blessed. Why? It's already. Well, then how do I run into it? Faith. Faith believes it has it. It's not believing it's trying to get it. If you're trying to get it, then you don't believe it's been given yet. I'm not trying to get it. I got it. I got resurrection already in me. It's already making alive my mortal body. When I woke up this morning, I slept through the night. And sleeping through the night, the Holy Spirit was still living in me, quickening my mortal body. See, He wants me to believe that. I'm not looking for a time for that to happen. He's at work in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Hallelujah. See, we have these things out here, but they got to get in our consciousness. See, we're much more powerful than we know. We're trying to get powerful, and we are. You see, as number one, I stand in a higher office than the President of the United States. Because you know what? If a guy ain't born again, he can't stand in a place of authority. I can. The least in the kingdom of God. Just think about it. Jesus made this statement to the Jews. Now, this would have been an awesome statement. He said, the greatest prophet there ever was, he said, is John the Baptist. Now, when they thought of it, they thought like Elijah and all these, oh, the greatest prophet. That's what people think they get, oh, the greatest this guy or the greatest that guy. And then Jesus makes this statement. He said, the least in the kingdom is greater than he is. See, when people started getting born again, they're greater. See, I stand in a greater place than David ever stood. I stand in a greater place than any of those people ever stood. They weren't born again. They have the Spirit of God in them. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. They weren't temples of God. They had to go hang around that place down there where it had the box where God was on top of. That's where they were. Now, thank God they had at least that much. But you and I ain't there. You're just thinking about what we are. See, the Christians identify too much with the world, too much with the natural and natural things, natural people. In the world, we have people who are authorities. I have no inferiority toward any of them. I don't care who they are. I remember when I started off in the areas of teaching, the Lord said to me, you don't come behind in any gift. He said, your gift is greater than any of these guys. He said, whether they're on TV doing it, whatever they do, he said, your gift is good. And he said, yours is better than most of them. Why? Because I worked at developing it. Most ministers will follow the crowd in their teaching. Whatever the crowd teaches, that's what they teach. You notice I don't do that. Why? Because I want to know what God's saying. The crowd is usually wrong. The crowds are wrong. Brother Hagin used to try to get people straightened out on that. They used to think they knew what he was teaching. And they'd go off teaching faith, and he used to try to get them straightened out on stuff, and they didn't ever liked it because people like the crowd, and they follow the crowd, and the money follows the crowd. And money is a biggie. Money, the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Money can be a great blessing, but it can be the worst curse you ever got. So one thing as I learned, I can love to give it away. Here's a lot of preachers like to give money. Yours. Now you listen to me talk straight. They're always, oh, we're giving and we're doing this. I want to know what they're doing in their personal life, not what they're doing with the ministry. Not what they're doing with your money to do this. Well, you'd be shocked. I've seen this already. Ministers who hardly give a thing, always trying to get people to give. Oh, yeah. They're out there. See, I ain't interested. Well, my ministry is this and this. What about you? Let's talk about you. Well, that's another story. Hallelujah. But here we are. We're talking about things of the Spirit. And that's what we're talking about. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant about things of the Spirit. This is why when the Lord spoke to me, I got born again in January of 1980, and in February the Lord said to me, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. Why? Because you got to learn spiritual things. Ignorance of Christianity, it's just not practicing stuff. People can go, you know, I know people who are very, you know, they give to their churches, they're good people, they're this and that stuff, but really very unspiritual. Very unspiritual. Nice people, you know, they got born again, but they're following a system. Systems don't have life. Systems come crashing down. Systems, no telling what's going to happen with system. And see, there has to be more than that. There has to be more. When we're dealing this in spiritual things, see, I want to know spiritual because we're dealing with a spiritual kingdom. God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. And that's what we're dealing with. If you want to operate this kingdom, we're operating many times. We see manifestations of things on this side. But most of the time, see, when we're operating by faith, we're believing in what we don't see. It's a spiritual kingdom. You know, I don't surprise me that the world questions, well, you guys are believing in something you can't even see. Amen, brother? That's right. That's what separates us. That's what separates people from the power of God. That's why, you know, you go over. Did they run ever say that to the Satanists? Nobody. When I was into sorcery and doing that stuff, nobody come up and, well, you're believing stuff, can't you? You go over there. They'll go watch movies. Christians will go watch movies about demons doing stuff and things. And they'll go watch this junk. And they'll go watch stuff, horror movies and all that kind of stuff. And they say, I have a tough time believing over here, you know, with God, which you can't see, you know. It's just, see, you follow the world, you get just like they are. Follow the world, you get just like they are. Can't see, you become blind. But here we found out, Paul said, hey, I don't want you guys ignorant about this stuff. Now, I want to read you that scripture from the Darby translation says, he says, but concerning spiritual manifestations, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant about manifestations of the Spirit or how the Spirit manifests, what He does. So we can see as we're learning things, His whole point is to show us things and teach us things about how the Spirit manifests. This is one of the things that I really like about this teaching, if you'll follow it through the whole way and go over into the 14th chapter, because then He teaches really conduct in the house of God of how certain gifts should operate. That's what this is all about. It teaches you how gifts operate. So He starts off, I'm going to teach you about the spiritual things. I'm going to teach you about, you know, what God does. And then I'm going to show you in the church how you keep this thing organized so it works right. You walk in love with each other. You know, you do this thing. See, the motivation of anything, let me tell you, the gifts of the Spirit. See, this is why in the 13th chapter He threw the love thing in. Because we're going to talk about something about that. I'll guarantee you, most of you never heard, but it's there in the Scriptures. But we want to look at is the areas dealing with love. Is because faith works by love. Manifestations, understand about this. The gifts and manifestations that we are given here are given and operate through us, but it is not for us. You're not gifted for you. God don't gift you for you. These are odd people say, well, you know, I'm gifted at doing this, and this is what I work at doing, and I earn my money. Well, I mean, is that... That's mostly geared towards you. See, number one, my gift to teach is not for me. Now, I want to show, because we want to find out. I can be blessed from it, but it's not for me. If I don't use it for others, it won't bless me. It won't bless me. It only blesses me if I use it for others. Then it can bless me. But it can't bless me. Any gifting of God, a spiritual gift, is not for you. See, the basis of love is on everything. Love's about the other, not about you. And see, we need to get this. This is one thing. See, most people, whether we realize it or not, most Christians think on a very babyhood level, they're sort of thinking they want the gifts of the Spirit because they want things to happen to them. That's not what it's about. Because we have something better than that. You don't need the gifts of the Spirit to get blessed. You are. You don't need the gifts of the Spirit to be healed. You don't even need them. Why? You can receive it anytime you want it. You can live in the blessing that you have at any time that you want it. We've been given the best. The gifts aren't the best. Oh man, that'll throw me. It's not the best. The best is faith. The highest level to always walk is faith. Is for you and I, this is the highest level that you can ever walk in. You believe the Word for yourself and believe it and receive it, and your faith in God brings it to pass. That's the highest level. It's not some big gift takes place. I have never had a big manifestation of the gift of the Spirit ever happen for me. It's happened through me for others, but never for me. They never come for me, they come for others. Numbers of times I've had manifestation of the gift of faith operate through me where people got very miraculously healed. I have never gotten healed that way. Never one time has that ever happened for me. It's not for me. God manifests it through me to bless somebody else with. Hallelujah. It's about ministry. It's about ministry. See, most people are trying to get things geared toward them. I found this out. Maybe I was fortunate with Kenneth Hagin. Love working, putting out. It's easy to get stuff. I found out I do much better when I don't focus on it. Isn't that true? I mean, isn't it? You know, one of the best things, you know, can happen to me. I'm going along feeling, my problem or whatever going on. And all of a sudden I hear about something that happened to somebody else. And I'm like, all of a sudden the perspective comes, oh my God, I'm having it good. Never forget the first time I went on a mission trip. And I was like, oh my God. The next time I complain, somebody needs to slap me. The people I went to, I mean, it was just... I was in place, it was so much poverty. I mean, poverty, America never saw anything like it. America had no idea. And I was like, oh my God. And I complained. I complained, God, forgive me, this backslidden buzzard. Forgive me. I complained, oh my God. And these people get it every day. Every day they wake up with this horrendous lives. Without Jesus, they ain't going to have nothing. Jesus got to get it. I mean, they ain't got the money to buy anything. And you ain't got enough money to fix their problems. Oh, American churches try and missionaries try it all the time. I try to get a hold of missionaries. Sometime in the field, I've talked to missionaries. Say, man, the problem, what they need, you keep trying to fix by people giving you money to go fix their problems. I said, they need a miracle of God, and you're holding it back. We're trying to do everything in the natural, take care of everything. I said, you need to get together with them and believe God, and they get a miracle. For one day, they don't need you, they need God. Well, that'd be a surprise. They won't need me, but I'm so important. Oh, don't laugh about it. I see people do with their kids all the time. They want to be their God to their kids. They don't teach their, they teach their kids about God, but they really become the God. You always trust in me. I used to tell my kids when they were little, one day Daddy will be gone. You better learn to live by faith because Daddy will be gone and I won't be here to pray for you. You see, we need to point people in the right direction. See, I learned to raise my kids to trust God. When my kids were little, they knew how to trust God. They didn't run to Daddy and Mommy for every little bump, scrape, move. They knew to believe God. We taught. You know, if they don't know when they're little, when they're 15, they won't know. When they're 20, they won't know either. I'm just telling you, good preaching, I know. My daughter Lena was 11 years old. Sent home from school, they had her arm in a sling and said her, they thought her elbow was broke. Said, about going to the doctor, this kind of thing and that stuff. And, you know, we're used to things, gonna, you know, pray. God said, the Lord spoke to me just real clear. It said, don't you pray for her. He said, she knows how. She's 11 years old. He said, she knows how to believe God. She knows how to pray. He said, now you're gonna agree with her, but she does the praying. 11 years old. 11 years old, my daughter was more spiritual than the average spirit-filled Christian that's 50 years old. I said to her, the Lord said, I ain't allowed to pray for you. I said, you're going to pray. I said, you know what to do. She said, yeah. I said, do you believe God? Yeah. I said, well, what scripture are you going to stand on when you pray? Well, she knew what scripture. She knew what to stand on. She knew. She quoted scriptures to me. And I said, okay. I said, this is what we're going to do. I said, you're going to pray. And I'm just going to agree with you that it's done. So we prayed. And, you know, we quit. You know, prayer don't take long. You don't have to pray for a long time. You know, we just prayed. Probably didn't take no more. And none of it took a minute. She's done praying. But I said, now you're going to do something. I said, we're going to sit here for about 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And we're going to praise God that it's done. See, I found out this a long time ago. This is where people minister. They spend a long time praying about it and no time praising like they got it. They don't spend a bit of time doing that. They're going to praise God when everything works out. And then they don't. But and so we sat there on the bed and I said, we're going to praise God. I just lifted my hand and started praying God. So she just did. And we just sat there and praised God. And then we sat there for a long time, just I proud, just thought, I'll just sit there just over and repeat myself. Thank you, Lord. So glad you healed her. I'm so glad this is taken care of and we don't have to do it. Thank you, Lord God. I just appreciate what you do. And just, you know, it's me praising God. I don't have to go thee and thou or nothing. I'm just so glad this thing's done. It's finished. Hallelujah. You're so good. And so I just sit there and that's what I do. I thank the Lord it's finished. And, so then I stopped and you know what I did? Walked out of the room, never said a word to her. I did. Well, how you feeling now? Uh-huh. Well, you just spit on your prayers, so forget it. Anyhow. You don't believe you got nothing anyhow? This is good preaching, folks. I'm just, I learned how, I walked out of the room. I just got up and walked out. I didn't say anything. Wow, we just spent all the time thanking God it was done. What is there to say? But something stupid. What? Well, now I want you to think about it. Because see, it doesn't matter if it changed right away or not. We believe we received it. That's our job. It's God's job to bring it to pass, not yours. When you start checking on God's work, don't be surprised. He don't work. Woohoo! I'm just, look, I know. I have practiced this hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. I know it works. The Lord told me. He said, you tell people that if they will listen to what you say and they'll do it, they'll get healed every time. That's what He told me. Because see, what I'm telling you don't make a bit of sense, naturally. Don't make no sense, naturally. And that's what the Bible is. It's no sense, naturally. Naturally, it's no sense that somebody died for you and you get off the hook of all your ugly meanness for all eternity and you get to go to heaven and live with God? Dear Lord, who's that good? Nobody natural. There's nothing natural to compare that to. Who could ever take the sin of the whole world to begin with? Naturally, it don't make sense. You know, people tell me the Bible don't make sense. It isn't. It's supposed to be believed, not made sense. Quit trying to believe, quit trying to make sense of the Bible, just believe it. If it says something that sounds stupid, who cares? I believe it.
Amen.
That's what it is. I just believe it. I don't care if it makes any sense. I don't care if it doesn't make sense if two agree by touching anything they ask it shall be done. And Jesus is in the midst and He didn't even show up. I didn't see Him anywhere. Do you guys see Him? Doesn't make no sense, does it? But I'm insane. I believe it. And see, that's what they'll tell you. You're crazy. Amen, brother. Preach it. Let this idiot alone. I'm having a good time. But anyhow, I left the room. I walked out. And I was only out of the room maybe 20 minutes. And my daughter come walking out. These things are just like yesterday. I could see them. I was sitting in the living room. And Elena walked out the living room. And she said, Dad, I'm completely healed. And she showed me her arm. Now, her arm was swelled up and had a black and blue. And she showed me, it was about a quarter size, black and blue mark. And all, that's all it was. But she said, I have no pain. It's fine. I can move it around, do everything. You see, that had to do with her faith. I can tell you what, I can get a kid to believe a whole lot better than an adult. Many times parents are the hindrance to their kids. They're so worried. They're always worried about their kid. Always worried. Always checking. We prayed, but I better check. Now I'll tell you a story about that. See, Elena was just a little babe just crawling around on the floor. She was still, you know, the little rug rat, you know. And so we would do this. We would just lay on the floor with them. You know, that's what we do in the evening. We just get on the floor with the kids, lay down. If I was reading the Bible, I'd crawl down the floor and she'd come and crawl over the Bible and, you know, and all that kind of stuff, you know. And so we were on the floor with the kids. So she was having trouble concerning a cold. And Wanda said to me, she said, would you pray for her? Said she, you know, she bounced. I said, sure. I said, Lena, come here. So she, over on the floor. I laid hands on her and prayed for her. And then I turned back over and started reading the Bible. Now, I understand Wanda was maybe, I don't know, she'd been born again maybe a month or so. That's about it. You know, she hadn't been born again long. So I laid my hands on Elena and I prayed for her. And then I went back reading the Bible. And I'm there reading the Bible. You ever get that sense somebody's looking at you? Well, I had this sense. And I looked over at Wanda and she didn't have a happy face. She's looking at me. And she said, how can you do that? And I said, Do what? I said, what did I do wrong? I didn't do anything wrong. She asked me to pray for the kid. Pray for the kid. And I said, do what? She said, you just pray for her and then just turn back reading the Bible like nothing's going on. Well, I said, ain't nothing going on. I said, I prayed and believed she's healed, so she's healed. I said, you know. And I realized it didn't register on her. See, I'm supposed to worry about it. That's showing good concern. You know, we're going to pray, but we're going to look at the thing and watch it. to make sure that it's going to change. And we'll call it faith, okay? See, the first place I learned to do that was with my own body. Because see, your own body, there's one thing about it. You can look at somebody else's body, you don't feel their pain.
That's right.
See, as people say, why can I pray for other people? It's so easy, I don't have a hard time. But for myself, I can say it's obvious, because anything in the natural that touches you, you couldn't stand 2 seconds in faith for it. Because you live in the flesh. You're just being fleshly all the time. For the other person, it's easy. You don't feel their pain. Well, it's easy to pray, say, I'm praying and believing. Yeah. Well, if you got their pain, let's see how much belief. We'll see how far your faith goes. It stays with you. And see, I had to learn to do that concerning myself. You know, I'd pray concerning myself and it don't change right away. And you've got pain. And you got to sit around and act like you received your healing, and the whole time you're in pain. And you got to quit watching it all the time. So I learned this from Fred Price when I was a young Christian. He talked about it one time. He was talking about he had gotten a growth on his chest, and he told this story, and it was a real help to me. He said he had a growth on his chest, and so he had learned. He hadn't been born again real long, but he had learned about divine healing and believing God. So he's going to believe God concerning this growth on his chest. And so he prays and nothing changed. And he said it was very bad, because he said it was really, he said, very painful. And he said when he get in the shower and stuff, you bump it and it's really painful. And so he said this was going on, and he said I was always another time and checking this thing and doing it. And one day the Lord talked to him about it. The Lord said to him, He said, you prayed, you asked, you believe I healed it, but all you do is look at that thing all the time. You're always checking it. And I found out this is what happened. The more you look, the further you move away from faith. I need to pray again. I need to pray. I need to pray. Maybe I ought to get more people to pray. Maybe if we could do that. Maybe we could. See, we get over into that thing. The more we're always checking it. And so the Lord told him about that. And he said, I started making a deaf thing. I prayed. And he said, I did everything I could to ignore that thing was there. He said, I didn't check it and stuff. I did everything to stay away from looking at it all the time. Because see, looking at the problem. It is hard to overcome things you just keep in your face. Some things in life are just in your face. And you're going to have to learn to stand in faith. But don't be the stupid person that sticks your face in every darn thing. Some people, that's what's the trouble. They pray for their kids and then stick their face in every darn thing that goes on. Everything. You know, they're married kids and their face is in everything that goes on. And they're saying, we're praying. Forget it. Get out of the bar. Have a drink. You're better off. You'll do less worrying down there because nobody cares. Folks, I'm just telling you good preaching stuff here. See, we're talking about spiritual things. We're talking about spiritual stuff. It ain't my notes, but it's a good spiritual. But I remember Fred talking about it. Fred said, you know, one day he said he got in the shower and he said he was washing and he realized he washed over his chest. And he washed over it. It didn't hurt. And he said, what on earth? And he looked down. It was gone. It was gone. You see, it's one of the things, there's things that it doesn't make sense naturally. But spiritual things bring supernatural results. This is it. See, this is the great hope that we have. This stuff written in the Bible works. Amen. It works. But see, Christians try to alter it. They try to make the Bible fit their life instead of fitting their life into the Bible. See, I had to find out that's the way you had to do it. You had to fit your life in the Bible. I had, you know, just like dealing with one of these things. I had one time I got an ingrown toenail and it got infected. And so I made a decision. I was going to cut this thing out. Oh, my God. Was that ever fun? Oh, my God. Makes you want to cry. It's like, and I cut the thing out. Well, you know, I thought to cut the thing out, the paint would go away, but it didn't. Oh, my God. That thing, you know, you're just down there messing with all that stuff, and I'd poured alcohol in it and all that kind of stuff. You're cleaning it out. And the next day, I have to go to work. And when I get up in the morning, yeah, I think it was twice as painful as it was when I, because it wasn't bad as long as you didn't step on your foot. As long as you kept your foot off the ground. Oh, it's doing pretty good now. I just, wow, I must be healed now. But anyhow, so and then it got even better because I got up to go to work and put my shoe on. Oh my God, did that hurt? They stuck it in his shoe and they don't make it. I needed one of those clown shoes, those wide things on the front. My shoes weren't wide enough. They were too narrow in the front. It was like, oh my God, does this hurt? So I got in the car and I remember it felt fine in the car because you're not standing on it, see? And you're driving, I'm driving to work and got to work and I got out of the car and stood up. Oh my God, painful. Ah. This is one of the things that I want you to get into this area, why it's so important to get the word in your spirit. We're talking about spiritual things. It isn't about getting words in your mind. Your power is out of your inner man and ain't out of your brain. Power is out of the inner man. I've had this happen more than one time. I've had this happen numbers of times. I know what Paul meant when Paul said about, you know, when I run out of me, then I got the power of God. See, you got to run out of you. The power of God is in you as a Christian. It's on the inside of you. It's in you. It's what's in the inside of you. And you get yourself built in the Word. And I've had this happen to me a number of times. I stepped out of the car when that pain hit. It made me so mad, but it wasn't natural mad. In the inside of me, my inner man was like, this is enough of this. And I said, I'm going into work and I ain't putting up with this all day. And I said, I'm walking across this parking lot and I'm going to the door of this place and I'm going to put pressure on this thing. Naturally, I am not limping around. And I started walking across there. See, you get this inside, your faith gets big, and then you got to put up when you took the first step. But I just, this is it. I just kept stepping on it. And I refused to not. Until I hit that door, every bit of pain had left my foot. I was completely fine. Never bothered me again after that. Never bothered me again after that. But see, it was by something on the inside. It was spiritual. It wasn't physical. My physical body didn't like where it was going. My physical body wanted Ed to crawl back in the car. Because why? We can call off work. You know, I can call off. See, now I'm going to work and the devil ain't stealing from me. Amen. See, get it on the inside of you. Get on the inside of you. Get on the inside of you. There should be within you. See, that's what happened. An anger rose up inside of me when I told you stories about I had a heart attack. An anger rose up inside of me and I said, devil, you ain't killing me. You have nothing to do with this thing. See, my life is between me and my Father, not me and the devil. See, the victory is what's in you. That's where you're victory. That's where the supernatural, that's why as we're teaching over in this area and we're looking in this area, we're talking about the supernatural. This is supernatural. This is not natural what takes place. It doesn't make sense of what you do. It makes no sense. See, the first time when the Lord taught me about divine healing, it taught me how to act in faith. I wake up sick. I'm a young Christian. Only been born again a few months. Wake up sick. Really bad. And I'm telling him, I'm going to believe God, I'm healed. I'm going to lay in bed. And this voice says to me, yeah, you're going to lay in bed. You're going to be sick all day if you just lay in bed. And I'm there, oh man, this really sounds exciting. And the Lord asked me if I believe 1 Peter 2:24 because I had quoted it. And he said, well, if you believe it, why don't you get up and act like it's true? And I thought, boy, he's awful touchy. You know, what is this? See, it doesn't make sense to operate against everything that the natural realm and every doctor tells you don't do. Makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense. See, you have to know on the inside, what have you put in yourself? See, I knew enough that, hey, I need to operate on this. I'm saying I believe it. You know what? And I looked, I did believe that scripture. I believe it was true. And he said, well, then you got to act like it's true. Well, act like it was true and it worked. It worked. See, it's not a thing. You have the battle of the mind. You have to train yourself to listen to your inner man and not your mind. Because your mind's connected to your flesh. and your flesh is a quitter. Your flesh wants to crawl over here and your flesh wants to protect every little thing. I don't want any discomfort. I don't want to feel, I don't want to go through anything. I want everything to be fluffy. I want everything to be real nice. Now that's being a nut. Because why look for that? It ain't happening in this world. In this world, Jesus said there's tribulation. There's trouble. He said, I've overcome it. Hallelujah. When trouble comes, we're going to have to live like it's overcome and not live like it's dominating me. See, right now the church has major trouble here in America because the church believes that we're overcome. They believe in Biden. They believe in whatever's going on in government. They're more geared toward that than they are God. They're more geared to what's happening in the nation. No, I'm sorry, there's trouble. You know, Jesus said through Kenneth Hagin, spoke to him about the end times, said four things get to their worst, that he's going to take the church out. He didn't say four things get real good. You know what I expect? To see worse things than I see now. But it don't trouble me. Glory to God. My God overcame this thing for me. Hallelujah. Our God overcame it. See, you can't face trouble with the idea of looking at trouble all the time. You got to keep your eye on the things of God. Keep your eye in the Word. Keep your eye over in the Spirit. The Holy, just think, God lives inside of you. You can't spend your time trying to find your destiny looking on the outside. It ain't there. Your destiny is the glory of God. It ain't there on the outside. The glory. Nobody ever, if you ain't got no glory on the inside, there ain't going to be no glory manifested anywhere from your standpoint out around you, because the glory is in you to manifest out. The glory's in you. It's in you. It's not going to be in you. God's not trying to get it in you. If you got God in you, do you think there's a little glory there? I mean, think about it. Get that in your mind. See, we've been taught there's been too much teaching that's just been over the natural side. It's always about natural things. It's about believing about natural things. Getting stuff, more houses, more lands, more this, more that, more stuff. This is the good stuff. No, it's not. It's temporal and it's all going to burn. When you live here, everything you gain burns. Everything you thought was important is going to burn up. But everything, if you thought was important, it was on the inside of you, it's eternal. It's forever. The average Christian is going to heaven with no reward. Because all they have to offer is stuff. That's all they did with their faith is stuff. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's glory on the inside. And it don't rust. It's a gold that don't rust. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, there's people in heaven that have left this earth that didn't have too much here. But I'll tell you what, the glory in them is worth trillions when they went off to heaven. But here on this earth, there's Christians who have had tons of money. When they get to heaven, they're going to have none of that. They don't have none of that glory. Why? They don't have a payday coming. They don't have a payday. Why? You're going to be judged by what you did in the flesh. Did you live to the flesh? Or did you live to the Spirit? Which did you do? Hallelujah. See, when I leave here, I don't want Jesus saying, oh my God, He's here. Your daddy showed up. I wonder what he wants now. Did you ever have somebody show up and that's the way you felt? Huh? Did you ever have somebody show up and say, oh my God, they're here. Ah, thought we were going to have a good weekend. Now they're here. It's good preaching, folks. And you might as well laugh, folks. We've all been in these boats. We've been here. Now, I'm not telling you the things that I've done in my life. I've only done this by the power of God. It's happened because of the one that's in me. It's not by me. I just learned to follow what didn't make sense. That's all you do. There's no way that you can walk and you follow the things of God and don't work. If it doesn't work, what's the point of Christianity? If this stuff doesn't work, what's the point? Why are we wasting our time? It would be of no value. people live and die going in and out of a church. And I mean, they're people that mean well, to do well. But the Bible's just not, it's the stories you read, it's stuff you do, it sounds nice, it's quotes you make, you do that. But it's not a life to live. And people don't expect it. People don't expect, we don't expect the supernatural, yet the supernatural is to be natural in the Christian. It's the natural. It's to be natural. The born-again Christian is designed to walk in the supernatural. We're designed for it. Hallelujah. You're not, you know, and I want you to get this because these things get hammered at us of rising to this epitome, then we can have the glory. No, you need to have the glory to get there. This false teaching, and it's false teaching. Now, we want to be, it's just like, say, if you have a, you have a cord here, and you could get different, you know, different weights of cords. You could buy of metal that's in that cord to be able to conduct electricity, and you plug it in the wall. And you know, when we started off, when I started off, you know, I couldn't run as much power through me as I can today. So what do you want to do? The reason we're developing as Christians is so we can learn to allow more power of God to work through us. But it isn't, we're not developing because we don't have power in us. God's not holding back. God doesn't look and say, well, okay, they're not doing everything I want, so I'm not going to move. How does he expect me to change? How, you know, it's gonna take power to get Ed to where God wants him to be. And if he ain't gonna move till I get to where he wants me to be, what do I need him for? Get this in your mind. See, this teaching, the idea is works. If your works are enough, God will use you. If your works, and you get to this place that you can just do everything, then he'll really work through you. He'll manifest things through you. God started using me in gifts of the Spirit when I was a baby Christian. And I'm talking about baby. Now, the greatest thing that happened to me outside of the new birth was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, to me, was the greatest change in my life. It was the greatest change in my life. When I got baptized with the Holy Ghost, supernatural manifestations started happening through me. Now, I was fortunate enough of this. I'd already been studying with Kenneth Hagin, and I had read his book, but I was listening to a tape series on how to be led by the Spirit, learning to listen to my inner man. So what I really had an advantage there because of getting started off on the right foot. I feel a lot bad because a lot of Christians go through a lot of years of being a Christian until they finally hear things that are right, and then it becomes very hard. People have a hard time giving up what's wrong. They learn to like certain things and are taught certain stuff, and they like to hold on to it. My words, that means people will fight to hold on. Yeah, they will. It can get hard. You know, you get stuff where you downright believe. Some people will give up things. Hey, when they find out it ain't right, they'll throw it right out. Other people don't do that. Other people will just cling on to that thing, you know. Well, you know, mom. Well, mama, you know. It's like I have a brother. Like he's what mama thought about something was he's much more like mama than Jesus. Now he's a Christian, but what mama said is most important. You know, well, mama went to this church and they were good Christians. They were good as long as they knew, but they might have been good people, but there's a lot they didn't know. And if you're just going to hang on to where they're at, well, good luck. You know, don't waste other people's time saying pray for me. What's the point? If you have no desire to change, there's no point in praying for you. Because you close the door on change. See, I don't know about you. See, I don't care how far I get, I need change because I don't know everything. Amen. And you never quit coming to the point you don't have to change. If you quit changing, it's because you backslid. You need to change. You learn new things. I learn and see things. I think, dear God, don't have to change that. You know what? I don't mind change. Why? Because change always leads to more glory. Amen. That's the wonder of it. God wants to manifest His glory. Get this in your mind that God wants to manifest glory through you. When you lose the search for glory and start allowing the glory to work through you, glory will probably run over you one day. It'll just come and run over you. I learned this. One of the greatest successes, because I had asked the Lord about, even from the areas of teaching. When I first got the gift to teach, and I asked the Lord one day, because, you know, it just seemed to me that, but even as a young Christian, that revelation would come to me. And I would study the Word. One thing is I learned to do is I am quick to believe. I am very quick to believe. A lot of people ain't like that. A lot of people ain't quick to believe. They have to know everything before they believe it's true. I don't have to know nothing. If the Bible said it, it's true whether I get it, understand it or not. It doesn't matter. It's true. I'm quick to believe what the Word says. The Bible says it. I don't understand it. It don't matter. It doesn't change truth whether Ed understands it or not. That has not. I can believe things that I don't know that, how it works. How many of you get in your car and expect to drive home today, but you could fix the electronic system if it went out? See, naturally we do all kinds of things. And then we'll sit around, it comes the Bible, and then we go through these religious rituals of, well, I just don't understand that. And I'll believe it when I was good. And I said, well, forget it. Don't bother. When you get to believing it, we'll be closing the lid. You just gotta, I just take things, I read the Bible, it says, hey, it's true, it's God's words, it's true. It's what God said. No matter if man, I don't care what some Christian scientist says, I don't care. The Bible's true. And I found this, I would just be quick to believe, and I'd get revelation about it. Revelation would come to me. But I found out it worked this way, as I said, the Lord said, one day I was trying, I said, Lord, why do you give me revelation so easily? I said, it just seemed like when I read the Bible, and I said, I see people, and I was in a church with a pastor who, he struggled all the time. He struggled. He just struggled. The Bible, and trying to get things here, he just struggled. I said, why does it come to me so easily? And the Lord told me this, and see, I found out, see, this is the principle. Give and it shall be given unto you. The Lord said, when you get revelation, you give it. You don't keep it for you. You know, many people, they give revelation, they don't give it to other people. See, I see it in the natural. I've worked numbers of different places in my life, and you'd always have these people work there. They wouldn't want to train anybody else.
Well, I had to learn the hard way.
Yeah, well, you ain't going nowhere in life. You and your one friend. If you have one. But anyhow, just, why? Give and it shall be given unto you. I never found anybody who was a good teacher who didn't continually get other learnings about stuff, even from the natural. See, the whole principle of the kingdom of God is about giving. Love's a giver. Love's a blesser. Love gives. Love gives. Love helps people. See, I learn things from God. I love for people to know them. I don't want to be the smartest guy in the class. It's much more fun when everybody else knows it too. It's not me being so smart. Because I didn't get it from me anyhow. It didn't come from me. Revelation came from God. Who am I to be the hog of it? See, we give it out. Just give it. I tell you, it's the most wonderful thing that we can give it away. If you get revelation from God is to share that, you couldn't give somebody any richer something than God gave you. Now we think the big thing today, they think, oh, the people really love, they're feeding everybody meals, they're giving everybody clothes and that stuff, but they don't give them nothing from God. Oh, our world today, our nation needs revelation. They need revelation. And the churches aren't giving it. They're giving good deeds, good works. Hey, it's nice to have some good work, what they call good works, but nobody ever came to Jesus on good works. Nobody ever get. They're talking about, oh, we're going to reach them through feeding them. My words. The church in the world ought to be the biggest group that there is. If feeding people brought them to Jesus, I mean, the church feeds people all over the world. I mean, that isn't what does it. If you're not the gospel, nobody can get saved. The power of salvation's in the Word. Jesus, they say, well, you know, Jesus loves the poor. He loves the rich too. He loves everybody. See, but we have the poor church with no revelation. Jesus loves them all. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're the church of Jesus Christ. Oh, my. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans, the 8th chapter, and he said this. He said, you're not speaking to Christians. This is to Christians, not the world. This is spoken to Christians. He said, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Amen. He said, you're not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit. See, you need to get sayings like that on your mind. See, we have so much teaching about being in the flesh that Christians view themselves the same way the sinner does who lives in the flesh. We're not in the flesh, we're in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of Christ lives in you. Is Christ living in you? Yes. It's not hard for us to come in contact with the Spirit. Amen. He's living in you. He's living in you. Paul said, Paul writes to the church. This is written to you. You're the church. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God's dwelling in you. Hallelujah. See, the next time you feel stupid or you feel you messed up, don't run yourself down, say stop and say, hey, you know what? I ain't in the flesh. I'm in the Spirit because the Spirit of God lives in me. I don't care how I messed up, what dumb I did. You might have done dumb in your flesh, but quit giving the flesh the glory. We give God the glory by declaring what the Word says. And the Word says, you're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. I'm in the Spirit. I'm in contact with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. I'm being led by the Spirit of God. You might feel like you ain't being led by nothing. You don't know what you're being led by, but you say what the Word says. You speak what God has said about you. Faith is released through your mouth. It's not released through your thoughts. Did you hear that? It's released to you. You can have happy thoughts, but you better get the right sayings out of your mouth. Because faith is released through the mouth. Jesus said you're going to have what you say. He didn't say you're going to have what you think. You're going to have what you say. We don't see, this is what the spirit world is, a world that operates by words spoken. People get saved by words spoken. Power. When your spirit believes something and your inner man believes something and you say what that belief is with your mouth, it'll come to pass. Amen. You don't change that belief and you say it, it'll come to pass. Jesus said, you say to that mountain and you believe in your heart, you don't doubt it. He said, what you say is going to come to pass. Amen. What you say is going to come to pass. See, we want to get over what we say is going to come to pass. This is why you say the right things about yourself. You talk about yourself as being a spirit being. Talk about yourself as being spiritual, not carnal. You're spiritual. Amen. You're spiritual. The letters in this book that were written in the New Testament are written to people who are believers, not unbelievers. It is written to believers. This isn't written to sinners. It's written to believers. And you're a believer. It's written to you. It's written about being a believer. And it's written for the believer. Speaking to them. Hallelujah. Speaking right to you. Hallelujah. It's God talking to you. It's not God talking to everybody. Amen. It's God talking to you. And God saying things. The things in here God says. And He said the good work that He started in you, Paul wrote. He wrote to one church. I'm in the church. See, I they're in a church in there that's different from me. We're all one body. And if he wrote to one group of Christians and said to them that the good work that, you know, God started you, He's going to bring it to completion, or if He wrote it to anybody or an individual, it counts for me. Because I'm in the same church. I'm in the same body. It's written to me. It's for me. The good work that God started in me, He said, He will bring it to completion. I have no clue how He's going to do it. You guys have heard me say it. He's going to be so busy on me, I hope you guys can get some help sometime. Because He's going to have His hands full. But, no, the thing, God said He will bring it to completion. You need to get that on your mouth. Because you'll go through things in your life and you'll mess up and wonder if God can ever fix you. And ever you go, oh, I made the same mistake before. And I did this. You can go to that place and you can say, no, the good work. I've learned to stop saying, no, the good work that He started me, He's going to bring it to completion. Because He's going to have to. I ain't got no clue how I'm going to do it. Dear God. He's going to have to do that. Get yourself, for that's the way you talk about yourself. You're the saints of God. Hallelujah. See, as we're going to go on and we'll read later on when we come back that we'll pick up on this thing. We want to get to the point because I want you to get to the point to see your spirituality that you're designed for the supernatural. That's what you're designed for. Supernatural should be the norm in the Christian walk. Supernaturally, things should be revealed to you. Understanding should come to you. It should be the norm. That God would use you to bless people and to do things, and He would do things. There is nothing. I've been around in places in the world. There's one thing as I found this out. When the supernatural is in manifestation, sinners love it. This is why Christians don't go to church, because the movies are better. Because the movies, Hollywood believes in the supernatural. Hollywood will have all kind of supernatural. Yo, you go, my God, they got superheroes, they got super this, they got super that, they got it. And you know what? The world's waiting for a super church. They want to, all we got is talk about all this Jesus loves you, but He don't do nothing. This do nothing Jesus. It's all talk and wind. It's a book full of supernatural that never happens. You know, you couldn't get probably 50 churches in America to really believe that God would open a Red Sea today. All we read about and talk about those things, but can they really happen? I mean, we got to come to the point. It has to happen.
Amen.
You ain't going to reach the world through this fluff that the church is offering today. We have a supernatural gospel that revolutions the nightlife of a human being. It don't just forgive them sin, it turns them into new people.
Hallelujah.
You don't know how many people want to be a new person, but the church ain't been offering it. All they offer is forgiveness. And you just keep staying, you're the same old drug addict you were, you're the same mess that you were, you're just forgiven. You're still adultery and fornication and whatever else. But you're still just doing all living like hell, but you're forgiven. Man, we got to have better than that. We got to have better than that. I thank God for the gospel that I heard. I heard a gospel of the supernatural. And what was preached to me, I was dumb enough to believe and it happened.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. And it'll happen for you today, the supernatural. Hallelujah. He's called us to it. He changes not. Father, I just want to thank You today. Father, our great desire is to walk in the glory that You put in us. We want to walk that place. Lord God, I thank You today that You've given us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of You. That the eyes of our understanding are being enlightened. And we know what the hope of Your calling is. And what the riches of Your glory that's in the inheritance of the saints. Hallelujah. What's the exceeding greatness of Your power toward us who believe according to the working of Your mighty power that You brought about when You raised Jesus from the dead and seated Him at Your right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come, and have put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church. That's us. That's us. Hallelujah. Which is His body. the fullness of Him who filleth all in all. Jesus, You made us Your fullness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're Your fullness right here in this earth today. Glory to God. Father, I thank You that Your revelation is being opened. I thank You that light is shining forth in the name of Jesus, that Your people are rising up in glory in the name of Jesus Christ, in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is in them. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You most of all, the good work that You started in them, You are bringing it to completion. You're working mightily in them in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful, Lord God. Lord, they don't have to be ashamed if they missed it, whatever's happened. Hallelujah. I thank You, Father God, for the blood of Jesus that is working just as powerful today. Hallelujah. On their behalf, that the salvation never quit on them. Hallelujah. The Lord God, that their Lord God can be cleansed and washed today, stand before You, Lord God, in the glory that You have prepared for them before the foundation of the world. Lord God, I thank You that supernatural manifestations of the Holy Spirit operate through them. I thank You, Lord God, that they're running into the supernatural in their life and walk as they go along. You're giving them revelation, Lord God, hallelujah, of what to do, what to say, how to act, Lord God, bringing, Lord God, these areas of glorious power by the power of the Holy Spirit, Father God, that changes the lives of people. Hallelujah. That's what we need, Lord God. We need the supernatural. And I thank You, Father God, Father, for wisdom and understanding. Hallelujah. And we give You the glory and praise. Hallelujah. Lord God, that You are working these things in us. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.